Oh, welcome to First Baptist. How's everybody doing today? Good? It's a beautiful day to be in God's house. A little chilly outside this morning, but it's a good day to be in God's house. So today, I'm sure you know 1 Corinthians 13, and I mean, you could forecast what I was going to preach on today. Love is not rude. Now, in our story, in just a couple of days, Jesus is going to be arrested, beaten, and crucified. But today, he's in the temple area, and he's teaching the people. And he's answering questions that the religious leaders kept throwing at him, trying to trip him up. And by the way, those narrow-minded religious men have never even came close to standing up against the wisdom of God. And Matthew records these words in Matthew chapter 22. He says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got one of them, an expert in the law, and he tested him with this question. And he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Now, all the law and the prophets hang on what? Love. And the greatest commandment is to do what? To love. Love God and love people. Haven't I been preaching on that for a while now? I think we're in like 6 months worth of sermons on love. Some of you are like, how many more sermons can you do on love, Pastor John? Don't try me on that one. But understand that nothing's more important than love. If we don't have love down, then all the other stuff just kind of falls by the wayside. Nothing, and the Son of God could not have made the point any clearer than he did that morning in the temple. Just a few days before his blood would spill onto the ground and stain a rugged cross. First Baptist, love is more important than what you say. Love is more important than what you know. And love is more important than what you give or what you accomplish. First Baptist, love is more important than those things. Love is the greatest commandment. In fact, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And so here's the deal. If you miss one of these points, you miss the entire point of your existence. If you can't love, then you have a hard time being a Christian if you can't love. Love is that important. That's why I've been beating it into you. That's not a good word, is it? I've been harping on it. People can recognize that. And that is why we're spending 10 plus weeks just on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the definition, the Bible definition of what love is and what love is not. Unconditional, sacrificial, unfailing, giving, generous, enduring forever love. And it's why I've strived to make this message series so practical so far for us to live out things that we can incorporate into our lives and put into use every single day. Like each week we've talked about the powerful facets of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not proud. And today, love is not rude. Now, this morning we're going to look at those four words that Paul put and painted on the canvas of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Four words that will help us live out that kind of love. Love is not rude. Every time I say rude, I think of Jar Jar Binks in the Star Wars movie. How rude, you know? Because we don't really use rude, do we? That guy's an idiot. I don't like that. We say all kinds of stuff, but we don't say rude anymore, do we? Rude. It's askeis mnio. It's the Greek. Askeimonio. Askeimonio. Schema, which is the middle part of that word in Greek, means to form a plan, okay? Without form, to behave unseemly, unsuitable, improper, or unbecoming a certain way. Now, here's how the Bible versions translate this, because I don't know what you have out there. Your Bible may not say love is not rude, but here's some of the versions. NIV, love does not dishonor others. NASB, love does not act unbecomingly. King James Version, love doth not behave itself unseemly. HCSB, figured I'd throw a couple in there you guys never heard of before. Love does not act improperly. And NCV, love is not rude. And so from these different renderings, from different versions of the Bible, translations, if you would, of the Greek word, we can begin to get a picture of what Paul is trying to say to us. Love does not act improperly or dishonorably or indecently. Love does not behave in an ugly, unbecoming manner. Love does not needlessly offend or act bluntly or crudely. Love does not behave gracelessly. Love is not rude. Question. Has anyone here ever been treated rudely? Anybody been treated rudely this week? Go to Walmart. Trust me, you'll get treated rudely. If so, how did it make you feel? How did it make you feel when somebody treated you rudely? Like, do you enjoy being treated rudely by people's words or people's actions? Does it make you feel valued? Does it make you feel loved? Does it shower you with all kinds of positive vibes when people treat you rudely? Would you like to be treated rudely more often by people? Have you ever been rude to somebody? See, we have to turn the tables on you there. Have you ever been rude to somebody? Okay, so you know what you're doing to people when you behave that way. First Baptist love is not rude. And that is the facet of God's kind of love that we're going to look at this morning by unpacking two statements. Not three today, just two. Why we should treat other people with respect, which is the opposite of treating people rudely. Treating people rudely, treating people with respect. And how to be a more respectful person. So just those two points. I was reading, actually, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes our minds and hearts are filled with all kinds of distractions from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Lord, just help us to set those aside right now. And as we focus in on your word and what it has to say to us, may we be able to incorporate into our lives so that we can better follow you and love the people around us. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. A lady in Cambridge, Massachusetts was told by the bus driver that she couldn't smoke on the bus. So she beat him with an umbrella and put him in the hospital. A man in an Atlanta restaurant was told that wait for the table would be 2 hours. So he slugged the greeter, put her in the hospital, broke her jaw. A gas meter reader in Houston went to check a gas meter and was shot in the stomach with a pellet gun by the homeowner. Two shoppers at a Westport, Connecticut supermarket got into a fist fight over who should be the first in a newly opened checkout lane. An airline's flight had to return to Anchorage after a passenger allegedly throws a can of beer at a flight attendant and then bites a pilot. Psychologist Frank Farley writes, what's going on? I mean, what's going on in the world today? We're rude and we're mean. There's road rage, there's air rage, there's cell phone rage, there's checkout rage, bank rage, boat rage, desk rage, and drivers even honk at people on crutches and in wheelchairs. And there's also funeral rage nowadays, where people actually drive by and give the one-fingered salute and yell at funeral processions for cutting them off in traffic. Listen, as we both look around and live in the world that we, in today's society, there's no doubt that rudeness and meanness is on the rise. Check out some of these surveys. A recent survey on civility in America found that 93% of Americans feel that rudeness is a serious problem, and that's getting worse. 8 out of 10 agree that failure of parents to instill good behavior in kids is the major cause of bad manners. You hear that, parents? They're blaming us for not teaching our kids manners. 7 out of 10 people feel more people are rude today than 20 or 30 years ago. 85% feel the world would have been a better place if we just say please and thank you more often. And when asked, what are some of the contributing factors to the rise in rudeness today? The top 5 responses were this. Hollywood celebrities, number 5. Hollywood celebrities. We do what they do, so they're rude, so we're going to be rude too. Number 4, political and social activists, liberal and conservative. Number 3, 40% say it's the news media, the way they instigate everything. Number 2, politicians. Number 1, social media and the internet, TikTok. And do you know what? We really don't need those surveys to tell us that rudeness is on the rise today, do we? Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're going to run into rude people, right? I mean, we see it, we hear it, and we experience it all the time. This week, I'm going to teach this series called Love is Not Rude. 2 questions. 1, do you think rudeness is on the rise today in our society? 2, and what are some behaviors that you find to be rude? Now, everyone feels that it's getting worse. Inconsiderate drivers, cursing in public, putting your phone on speaker and having a loud conversation, not caring who's around you, not saying thank you, not saying please, not holding doors open for people, taking a close parking spot when you know that there's an elderly person waiting, right? Cutting in line at the grocery store, no calling, showing, or canceling plans at the last minute with people. I'm sure you have your own list of things that you think are rude in society nowadays. And I don't know about you, but rudeness is something that gets under my skin just a little bit. Okay? Just ride with me on 90 as I'm going to Peach Street. Trust me, you'll find out who I think is rude. All right? And I have to ask myself, well, why is that? Because rudeness at its core results from lack of respect for other people, right? You see, rudeness reveals that I couldn't care less about you. That you, your feelings, don't really matter to me. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I don't care what you think. That I'm only thinking about myself. Tragically, the philosophy of far too many people today is it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or whether it hurts somebody else or not, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to say, tweet, text, email, or post a comment what I want to say. But the Bible doesn't say that, does it? The Bible says love is not rude. Now, some of you may be thinking, come on, Pastor John, what's the big deal? I mean, why put rudeness in the same category as some of these other qualities? It's annoying. It bothers me. It's impolite, yes, but it hardly seems to be on par with pride, with patience, with kindness, with envy, right? But understand, the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing when he guided the pen of Paul across the paper when he was writing 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because rudeness creates so many other problems. It ignites so many other flames. Question, can you think of any examples where rudeness had a positive effect on anybody? Raise your hand. I thought about it all week. Rudeness never has a positive effect on anybody. In fact, Jesus addressed rudeness in the Sermon on the Mount when he condemned some of the common rude insults of his day. So here's how I want to approach this message this morning. You see, just as we overcome pride by being humble, we overcome rudeness by learning how to be respectful or having respect for other people. Rudeness and respect are mutually exclusive. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Show proper respect for everyone, love the brothers and sisters of the believers, fear God and honor the king." Question, what is respect? What is having respect for somebody else? Respect is showing value and honor to others by our words and our actions. Okay? Therefore, when we dishonor or devalue a person, you have disrespected them and you have disregarded them. You've cast them aside. Okay? You're not thinking about them at all. You have acted rude towards them, and that's a sin. Question, do the people that you live with, work with, serve with, go to church with, and encounter you on a regular basis feel better or worse after they've been with you or heard from you through an email, a text, a post, a tweet, a voicemail, a phone call, an in-person meeting? Now understand, this is one way to know whether or not you're a respectful person, if you respect other people. Do the people around you feel inspired, valued, and respected? Or do they feel worse, diminished, and unappreciated? Now I think we all need to be honest here, me included, and acknowledge that we at all times struggle with being rude. Like I said, drive with me on 90 going to Peach Street and you'll see some rudeness. They may not hear me, but I'm going to say it anyways, right? Those drivers, I don't know where they got their licenses at. Love is not rude, right? Let's do this. First point in your notes, if you're taking notes. Why should we treat everyone with respect? I'd like to suggest several reasons. Before we go there, in order to make this message a little more impacting, I want you to think for a second and picture someone in your life that you find very difficult to respect. I'm talking about somebody who is, you know. Anyways, find somebody in your mind that's in your life that you have a hard time respecting. Like someone who it would feel good to unleash the best of your rudeness on. So do you have someone in mind now? Okay? Here's the first why. Despite how they make you feel or how rude they've been to you, here's why you must treat them with respect. Because God made everybody. God made everybody. So he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Genesis 1:27, right? I mean, I made him. I created him. I made them in my image, in my likeness. And because they were all created by God, because they are all made in his image, they all deserve respect. Question. When someone disrespects something you've made, or someone you love, or how do you feel about that person? Do you want God to feel the same way about you? I don't. A second reason to treat everyone with respect is because Christ died for all of us. When he went to the cross, he died for everybody. Even that person that's being rude to you or you're being rude to them. The love of Christ controls us because we know that one died for all. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Now listen, everyone you lay eyes on is someone that Christ died for. The person to your right, the person to your left, people in front of you, the people behind you, is someone worth the Son of God going to the cross and dying for. And if he was willing to do that, can we at least give him a little respect? Question. How do you treat someone with that kind of value? Knowing that God created them and Jesus died for them, how do you treat that person now? How do you respond to someone who is that important and that valuable to the Creator of the universe, the Lord of glory? How do you treat that person now, knowing what you know now? Understand, that's not just your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents, cashier, Kroger. I'm a Kroger. We don't even have Krogers around here, do we? Yeah, I didn't think so. That's a Southern thing. You know why I always should have just put Walmart in there, but the person at work that drives you insane. How many people got one of those in their life? Somebody at work that drives you crazy, you know? You got to try to love them anyways, right? You know, or as George. George is probably listening to this. George is like, he's always doing that, just wanting to choke somebody, right? But that's okay, as long as you don't choke them. That's not advocating choking here. That's not a thing. But just because you feel like you want to do something doesn't mean you should do it. All right. Somebody who's got an immoral lifestyle. The person that you're angry with. The person that always mows over onto your side of the lawn 2.5 feet too far. That's someone that Christ bled and died for on the cross. Understand, First Baptist, God loves absolutely, leaves absolutely no room for doubt. In 1 Peter 2:17, show respect for everyone. Show proper respect for everyone. This means you must show proper respect for your boss, your wife, your husband, your parents, your kids, your irritating classmates, whatever it is, people you work with, the obnoxious person at work, right? That keeps eating your food out of the refrigerator, even though you put your name on it, all right? That annoying brother-in-law or annoying in-law, the friend who constantly talks about himself and just never shuts up. You know who I'm talking about, right? I'm not being all super religious here. I'm talking to you on a one-to-one level. The same things bother me too. The person who cuts you off in traffic. Yeah, now we're talking I-90. The person who just sent you a rude email. Now understand, God has not given you or I permission to be rude to anybody. Instead, he calls us to love people and respect them. Everybody. Are we tracking now? Because it minimizes conflict. Let me say that again. Treating people with respect minimizes conflict. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words make tempers flare. I don't know about you, but when someone's rude to me, my first instinct is to snap their spine. That's just me. Twist them up like a pretzel, make them yell for mama. But that's just the first instinct. That's not what I do. I may think about it for a second. Or to be rude back, right? Much of the conflict, problems, anger, bitterness, grudges between people usually begins with somebody being rude and having a lack of respect. Rudeness always produces hurt. Always. Sometimes the hurt's small, almost unnoticed. You could probably just brush it aside and say, well, they're having a bad day. But a small hurt's like an infection. It's like a small paper cut. If you don't do something with it, wash it and clean it, what happens? You get an infection, right? And it spreads. It grows. Question. If there was less rudeness in our world, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our relationships, in our churches, do you think there would be less conflict? Yeah, I'd say so. Next, we should treat everybody with respect. Because you get back what you give. You say, Pastor John, is that in the Bible? Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Right? This is the principle of sowing and reaping. Whatever you plant, you're going to harvest. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. What goes around comes around. Remember that one, right? Would you like to be respected by other people? Well, then you need to give respect to other people. What we give out is what we're going to get back. So let me ask you a question. What are you getting back? What's coming around in your life from other people? Respect or rudeness? Listen, if we want to be treated with respect by other people, then we need to treat other people with respect. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do for you. For this sums up the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. If we want people to smile and talk nice to us, then we need to do the same thing to them. Smile and talk nice to them, right? But if we're rude, what are people going to be back to us? Rude. Now, the final reason I think is the hugest. That's not proper English. The hugest. I remember a little kid used to come over to my house, and I used to make a bet. Every Saturday morning, Mom would drop them off, three little kids. Ended up being four, but we'd take care of them while Mom was at work on Saturday. And I always would get up Saturday morning and make breakfast. And the little girl would be like, do you want a pancake? And she said, yeah. I said, how big? She's like, I want the hugest one. Avery is her name. She's probably about 16 or 17 years old now. Be wise in the way that you act with people who are not believers, making the most of every opportunity. When you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant so you'll be able to answer everyone the way you should. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Now listen, rude Christians do not win many people to Jesus. Amen? I mean, when you're out evangelizing, when you're telling somebody about Jesus, if you're being rude, that's not real attractive, is it? Instead, it usually drives them away. A friend who used to wait tables at a Perkins that was right by a theme park when I was down in Georgia, we were both going to seminary together, and he worked there to pay his tuition and bills and stuff. And while he was there, he said there were two times that nobody wanted to work, okay, at Perkins. Sunday afternoon when church let out, and you got to remember, we had 135 Baptist churches in Valdosta. And when the park had the Christian Night of Joy, my coworkers who weren't believers said that they hated to wait on tables that were filled with Christians. Now, why is that? He said, because for the most part, they were rude, demanding, critical, and they would leave huge messes and small tips. How tragic is that? That those who supposedly just left worshiping God were the worst people to wait on. It should be the opposite, right? People should be, servers at restaurants should be fighting over who gets to work at the tables when Christians get out of church. Be wise in the way that you act with people who are not believers, making the most of every opportunity. When you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. We should want to treat everyone with respect because God made everybody. Because Christ died for everyone. Because God commands it. And it minimizes conflict. Because what goes around comes around. Because rude Christians hurt the cause of Christ and the spread of the gospel. Do you want strong and deep relationships? Do you want to live out God's kind of love? Then you need to start focusing on respecting everybody. Respecting other people, even if you don't like them. Can you love someone and not like them? Can you? I do all the time. I may not like you, but I'm commanded by God to love you. This brings us to point number two in your notes. How to be a more respectful person. Now, most of you are older than I am. All right? I'm not the one that's supposed to be up here teaching how to respect other people. But I wanted to spend the rest of our time together talking about a few practical ways. Things that you and I can do. I mean, I too. I need this just as much as you do, probably. And that will help us, you and me, ride the ways of a love worth living, become more respectful people, right? Something to put in your toolbox. Because you're going to have that one person who just won't shut up, right? And you just want to choke them. It happens. How do you be respectful to somebody like that? And to help us remember, you know, I took the word respect and I made an acrostic. You know, I keep thinking, I got Aretha Franklin singing through my head right now. R-E-S-P, right? Respect. That's your acrostic. Write it down the side of your paper. First one, R. Remember to stop before you speak. Okay? Remember to stop before you speak. The reason I'm starting with speaking is because one of the primary ways that people are rude to other people is with our words, right? I've met some people with some pretty sharp tongues, in and out of church. Spoken, tweeted, text, emailed, posted, as we saw earlier, Psalm 15:1 says, a harsh word makes tempers flare. Question, are you ever rude with your words? Do you ever listen to yourself? Most of us don't. We just keep that hole under our nose going and we don't even pay attention to what we're saying. Have you ever disrespected somebody with your words? And let me say this, when you speak to somebody else, you always communicate more than just the sum total of what your words say. Does that make sense? 80% of communication is what? Unspoken. It's body language. 80% of communication is nonverbal. You can smile at somebody, but your body language is saying, I really don't like you very much. Our rude words and our tone can stir up anger in a heartbeat. That's why we need to stop before we speak. Even fools seem wise if they keep quiet. If they don't speak, they appear to understand. Proverbs 17:28. Hear that? Even fools seem wise if they keep their mouth shut. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. Proverbs 21:23. Stop before you speak. Stop before you tweet. Stop before you text somebody. Before you hit the send on an email. Stop while in the silent mode, we need to do two things. So once we stop and don't speak, we need to think. All right? And the first thing we need to do is listen. Okay? He who answers before listening, that is folly and his shame. Proverbs 18:3. Did you ever do that? Are you married? Are you a parent? Well, trust me, you fall into that category, yes. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, right? James 1:19. Are you a good listener? Would the people who know you best say that you're a good listener? Do people feel like you're present with them? In other words, when you're talking, they will shut up and actually listen to what you're saying. Or is there anybody in your world who might just be whispering under their breaths, would you just please stop talking, advising, rambling? Could you stop and listen for a second? And listen, when it comes to dealing with rudeness, rude people, we need to listen to the pain behind the rudeness. If someone's being rude to you, listen. There's a reason why they're being rude. See if you can figure out what it is. The second thing to do while you're in the silent mode is to think. So listen and think. There's more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Proverbs 29:20. What kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Proverbs 15:4. Question, has your spirit ever been crushed by someone with words? I listened to a lady get her whole life crushed in Walmart the other day.
Guy was like, how can you be so stupid? Why don't you just shut up? And I looked at him and I said, excuse me? And he was like, what? And I was like, apologize. And he was like, she's bawling. He just said one sentence. I was like, apologize. He said, or what? I just looked at him and he was like, I'm sorry. I said, mean it. He's like, I'm sorry. I was like, holy smokes, how can you just crush somebody like that? Now understand, your words can either be a healing stream or a deadly poison. You can really hurt somebody with words. They can add value or they can take value away. Have you ever met anybody who was proud of their rudeness? I had a guy in the military who was like this. I mean, he was abrasive like sandpaper. I mean, he was always in a bad mood. I just tell it like it is and I let the chips fall. You know those guys? I understand that's not candor. That's just rudeness. I mean, we're insecure. And we don't care very much about other people that we think are weak and intimidated. So we crush them. That's rudeness. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul gives us what I think is the best advice on what we should be asking ourselves while we're in the silent mode. Okay? So when you're pausing before you hit the send button or whatever, think about this for a minute. This is Paul, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow. Paul hit it right on the head, didn't he? Think before you speak, tweak, text to anybody. Before you hit that little arrow thing that sends it, read it over and say, is this the best use of my words? Same thing with email. Before you call. The waitress at the restaurant, the kids at the drive-thru, the people in your home. Stop and ask yourself, why am I saying this? Or why am I about to say this? Is what I'm about to say going to build them up or tear them down? Is what I'm about to say going to help or hurt this relationship? What is my motive? Why am I saying this? Is it just to vent my anger? You know, my dad was 6'9", 345 pounds, monster of a man. When he got mad, you know what he would do? He'd go out and chop wood. We had a lot of wood at our house. 8-10 cords a year. My dad, every time he got mad, he'd go out and he'd chop some wood. Split some wood. Just an axe and some frustration. And he'd take his frustration out on a cord of wood. You know? Let your anger at least be productive. Remember to stop before you speak. And when you do, your words will start to be respectful. And they will become words like Solomon described in Proverbs 16. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. See, Solomon's saying that honey is healthy. Go figure. They knew about it back then too. Proverbs 16:24. Educate your kids to be respectful. All right? Now some of you say, wait a minute, my kids are 45. Yeah, I understand that. Well, you got grandkids, great-grandkids. Teach them to be respectful. Parents, don't be hard on your children. Raise them properly and teach them, instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Listen, if being respectful and not being rude is something that God commands, if it is important enough for us to do, then it's important for you and I to teach it to the next generation, right? Do you think the world is getting more respectful or less respectful? And why is that? Now listen, since we, not the school system or the church, are the ones that God has given the responsibility of teaching things to, it's not the school's responsibility and it's not the church's responsibility. It's the parents' responsibility. 80% of the people in America feel that parents are not doing a very good job at teaching this. That's what they feel. You know, I can't believe the way that I hear some kids talk to their parents nowadays. If I raised my voice this much, I'd have got backhanded when I was a kid. You don't raise your voice to your mother like that. Because I was being what? Disrespectful. Thank you. Please excuse me. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Our words, we don't hear spoken that often today. Fellow parents, look up here for a second. If we allow our children to be rude and misbehave, we're causing them to develop patterns that will hurt them in the future. What do you mean? Will hurt them in the future. Rudeness is not very attractive. It doesn't sit well with most employers. It's a lousy way to build healthy relationships with people that you want to have a relationship with. And beyond that, it will cause them to sin, disobey God's command to love, which will limit God's blessings in their life and effectiveness as His representatives trying to bring them into the world, to the Christian life. R-E-S. S in respect. Serve others. Serve others. Listen, when we yield our rights and serve somebody, we really make a person feel like they matter. They feel respected. Do you think the disciples felt valued and respected when Jesus washed their feet? Of course they did. They were a little embarrassed, but, you know, hey, some one of them should have got up and washed everybody's feet. But, hey, it took Jesus to give them a life lesson. What does yielding and serving looking like? I mean, there are dozens of examples that I could give you. And listen, most look a whole lot like good old common courtesy. Remember, common courtesy, right? Courteous. You know where that word comes from? Anybody got an idea? First five words are what? Court. In old England, to be courteous was to act in the way of the court. You see, the family and the servants of the king were expected to follow a higher standard. And listen, as we are followers of Christ, we are part of the family and the servants of not only just a king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? The one who is sovereign and reigns over the entire universe, reigns over the ultimate court. And we therefore should be expected to live at a higher standard. Now, some examples of common courtesy are holding the door open for someone, helping somebody carry something, letting someone go first. You know, I got somebody, there was like three people in line behind me, and this guy shows up and we're at two Walmart stories this week. This guy's got two things, all right? Two protein shakes, two six packs protein shakes. And he's standing way at the back, and I'm thinking to myself, there's me, one, two, three, four people, and then him. He's going to be standing in line for two things. I said, dude, come on up here. And everybody looked at me like, I've been waiting here for, you know. I said, why don't you just hop up here? You only got two things. That was being courteous. Letting someone go first, getting them a drink, taking their plate, saying thank you, please, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. All that stuff is just being courteous. Listening to the person who's talking or teaching you without having the phone in your face all the time. Kids at the dinner table nowadays. Right? Call me a liar. All right. Not interrupting when someone's talking. Park properly. Return your shopping cart to the proper place. Prompting response to calls, returning calls, returning texts, returning emails in a timely manner. R-E-S-P. Promises are meant to be kept. Your word, right? It's your word. Promises are meant to be kept. Have you ever had someone break a promise to you? Did that make you feel honored and respected? Did it make you feel discounted and disrespected. People who promise things that they never give are like clouds and the wind that bring no rain. Proverbs 25:14. Now, that's some pretty powerful imagery. Listen, one of the ways we respect people and ride the ways of a love worth living is when we keep our promises. Our word makes a difference. That's one of the reasons I feel so valued and respected by God. Every promise that He's ever made, He's kept. Amen? Every single promise. God promised throughout the Old Testament, and every promise He made, He kept. That He said that He was going to send a Savior who would forgive us of our sins and provide a way to restore a relationship with God, and He did that. And Jesus Christ came, fulfilled that promise. He lived, He died, He rose again, and He's coming back one day. Amen? I need some adrenaline going on in here. I'm going to have you guys doing jumping jacks here in a minute. By the way, this is one of the reasons we take communion every month at First Baptist, is so we can remember that saying that's in 1 Corinthians 11:26, right? Whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. That's a promise. That's a promise that we're waiting to be fulfilled. All right, R-E-S-P-E-E-C-T, right? E. Employ the Romans 12 principle. Never pay back evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good. Romans 12, 17 and 20. Whenever you respond to rudeness, it only makes things worse. Sometimes it's better to do what? Just walk away, right? Just walk away. My mom always told me whenever I responded to things the wrong way. How many of you had a mother? Most of you, right? John, two wrongs don't make a right. Wise woman. She probably heard it from her parents. I understand you and I never have God's permission to sin. It's never right to do wrong. And rudeness is wrong, unloving, and therefore sin. And we know that we have passed from death to life because we have love for our brothers and sisters, right? And the one who does not love remains in death. Remember that scary verse I read last week? 1 John 3:14? Well, let me personalize it again. Remember when I personalized that one last week? We know that we have passed from death to life because we are not rude to our brothers and sisters. The one who is rude remains in death. Wow. Because if you're rude, you're not being what? Loving. Listen for the pain behind the rudeness. Because there's pain back there. Look past their behavior to their value. When you see them, remember, God made them and God died on the cross for them. We treated you rudely. When treated rudely, do the right thing. Act the right way. And of course, respect. R-E-S-P-E-C, right? T. Got to remember spelling it. Clean up after yourself. Do unto others whatever you would like them to do to you. Matthew 7:12. Question. Do you like cleaning up after other people's messes? Like, I used to have a poster called "All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." I had it posted in the kitchen on the refrigerator for my kids. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. It actually said that. Take a nap every afternoon. I like that one. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. And last, to deal with respect. Put things back where you found them and clean up your own mess. Everything I ever needed to know, I could have learned in kindergarten. So when you miss the garbage can, go pick it up. When you leave here in a few minutes, make sure you take your mess with you. Coffee cups, all that stuff. When you eat out and your kids make a total mess in the restaurant, pick up a little bit. When you borrow something, put it back. If you use all the gas in a lawnmower, fill it up. If you borrow somebody's car and you use it all day long, don't bring it back empty. These are simple things. T, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Treat others, treat everyone the same. Now you say, wait a minute, hold on a second. I'm supposed to treat strangers like I treat family. Yes. The Bible says in Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. Question, are you? Are you a respecter of persons? Do you treat everybody the same? God makes the rain to come on the just and the unjust. What? What? I mean, he's saying, listen, I give to everybody. I give blessings to everybody. Are there some people who you would never even consider being rude to? I know some. And there are some people that being rude to is almost second nature. Why is that? Well, let's repent of acting that way. Because if we do not, we'll never live out God's kind of love. Love is not rude. And as James said, as God says in James 2:1, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people more than others? James 2:1. Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T is what God is asking of you and me. Because love is not rude. Love is not rude. Okay, one final thought. We're going to close up. Respect is most definitely what Jesus gave to every single one of us when he chose to die on a bloodstained cross for you and me. The cross is the greatest symbol of respect in all of human history. But understand, even when it comes to the cross, Jesus is not impolite and rude. He always knocks before entering. You say, Pastor John, you lost me on that one. See, there's two things that Jesus is not going to do. I stand at the door and knock. He doesn't say it. I stand up to the door and I open it. Two things God's never going to do. Force his way into your life. And two, force his way into your life. He's just not going to do it. He leaves that choice up to you and me. We make the decisions. Free choice. But he's offering you and I a better way. A better way to live and a better way to love. Because love is not rude. Amen? All right. 53 minutes flat. I'm getting good. All right. Let's pray. Don's going to come up here and he's going to get us ready for a... Now listen, this sermon wasn't one of my typical ones, but preach for 45 minutes on love is not rude, and it's not easy. It's five words. Love is not rude. Four words. All right? So let's remember all those things in 1 Corinthians 13 that we're supposed to be doing. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and to worship you. Because worship takes place in the head, it takes place in the heart, and it takes place with our voice. That's what worship's about. It's not about the comfortable chair, the fact that we got air conditioning, or anything else. Worship is about the head, the heart, and our voice. So, Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, may we sing with our hearts so that we may honor and glorify you. Take your words that we've heard and take them to heart. And take the lessons that we've learned and commit them to memory. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus.